You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In the course of their long careers at ABC's Nightline, Ted Koppel and producer Leroy Sievers covered a wide range of stories, but nothing as personal as the one being broadcast this coming Sunday night on Mr. Koppel's new show on the Discovery Channel. It's called Koppel on Discovery, Living with Cancer, and it brings Ted Koppel back to the show along with Leroy Sievers. The show is being broadcast at 8 p.m. I want to welcome you both to my show. Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Ted, how long have you and Leroy Sievers known each other? Was it always as colleagues?
At this point, Leonard, I have to tell you, too long. He and I are stuffed into a small booth together, and he's a very big fella, and frankly, he's sopping up all the oxygen. No, we've known each other about 15 years. Leroy came over to join Nightline as a producer from CBS, and for the last 4.5 years or so of Nightline, he was the executive producer of the program, and he and I have been a lot of different places around the world together, including being embedded with U.S. forces in Iraq almost exactly 4 years ago.
Now, you say he's a big fella. That he doesn't look like he's ill, does he?
No.
He looks like a big bear-like kind of man who would be invulnerable, in fact.
Well, he's almost capable of speaking for himself.
Yeah, well, I'll ask him.
And if he doesn't push me out of the way first. No, Leroy is about 6'4", 6'5", and depending on how well he's been dieting, anywhere from 240 to 275. So, yes, he's a big guy.
Well, Leroy, you've been living with cancer for a while, haven't you? You had colon cancer 6 years ago?
Yeah, in 2001, I was first diagnosed routine colonoscopy. I had a family history, and to everyone's surprise, we found a tumor. I had surgery. I was clean, sort of the poster child for early detection. They say if you go 5 years without a recurrence, you're cured. Well, I made about 4.5 years, and actually Ted and I had gone hiking and then went to the movies, and I started to slur my words and ended up in the hospital, and they came in, the doctor came in and said, well, we found a brain tumor. We found tumors in your lungs. You got about 6 months.
Wow. How long ago was that?
About a year and a half ago.
So the doctors were wrong, thank God. But you're still living with this thing hanging over your head, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in sort of a strange limbo right now. Around the first of the year, things were not looking good, and the doctors were actually saying it's time to start getting your affairs in order. Sometime during the summer is probably when you're going to pass away. And then through some new techniques and some other things, we managed to kill all the tumors, or at least all the ones we can find. So I sit here today with no active tumors, a place I never expected to be.
Chemotherapy. In fact, Ted, you went with Leroy for the chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is getting more and more sophisticated these days. Is this something, Leroy, that might not have been treatable 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
They're making a lot of advances, but there's a new drug out called Avastin, and the medical community is very excited about it. But from the patient standpoint, they'll say, this is great new drug. It'll give you about an extra 3 months, which from the patient standpoint is not all that exciting.
And the chemo is probably difficult to live with.
As a matter of fact, Leonard, if I can just jump in, because Leroy and I remember, were sitting just outside this recording booth a number of months back, and we're saying, on the one hand, on the other hand. And he was talking about Avastin and saying, well, they tell me I'm going to get acne, it's going to make my hair fall out, I'm going to be nauseous, and there is a 20 to 40% chance that it will work, working being defined as an extra 2 or 3 months. And then all of a sudden, here was this other procedure that is regarded as a little more experimental, this radio frequency ablation. And they were saying, well, we're not sure that's going to work. And Leroy and I are looking at each other and saying, wait a second. On the one hand, you get acne, you get to feel terrible, your hair falls out. And if you're really lucky, you get another 2 months. And on the other hand, here's this doctor who says, I can kill your tumors. No brainer.
Well, don't say no brainer. That's a bad pun in this case. But how advanced was it when you started slurring your words? Because cancer is pretty hard to spot. in its initial stages, isn't it? There is often no pain and few physical clues until it actually reaches an advanced stage.
Yeah, I have never, the odd thing is, except for the slurring, which was actually from the swelling in my brain around the tumor, I've never had any symptoms from the cancer itself. Whenever I've been sick or whatever symptoms I've had have actually been from the treatment. I know I have cancer because I've seen the pictures and they tell me, but I've been lucky enough, and not everyone is as lucky, to not have symptoms from it. You know, the tumor in my brain was large enough. I think anything in there is large enough. There's the old, I don't know, a dime, penny, golf ball, grapefruit. There's a whole scale of trying to get a sense of how big it is. It's terrifying no matter how big it is.
Do most people learn they have cancer by accident because of blurred vision or speech, or because they accidentally feel a lump that they hadn't noticed before?
I don't know about about accidentally. Clearly, regular breast exams for women is a great way to catch it as early as possible. For something like I had, when the colon cancer spread to my lungs and brain, until it manifests itself somehow, there's really no way to catch it. Again, I was having regular checkups, and up until that point, I was coming up clean every time.
Well, Ted, the other person you profile in this report is Lance Armstrong, who had testicular cancer, and he said that he had an enlarged testicle, but he just ignored it because he's an athlete. He's used to working through pain. In fact, he had all sorts of explanations for all the things that the cancer was doing to him.
Well, I mean, Lance is a unique example in many, many ways. I mean, after all, after his bouts with cancer, and after the doctor telling his mother, look, his chance of survival is only 50-50. Here's the man who went on to win 7 Tour de France. So he's a unique example. But the point is, as you say, Lance had a swollen testicle. He had blurred vision. He was coughing up blood. And when I said to him, how long did it take you? Well, it took months before he went to a doctor, and then he went to a neighbor who happened to be a doctor. And I said, well, what kind of a doctor was he? And he sort of grins a little bashfully and said, well, he was a plastic surgeon. and it was only when he really started coughing up blood that and went to his neighbor that the neighbor said, look, I mean, you absolutely have to go. You have to consult the right kind of a doctor. You have to consult an oncologist.
Well, he was very young also when this was happening, and athletes usually feel like they're invulnerable anyway. When you're young, you assume a cancer is something that won't even affect you for many, many years. So it seems quite reasonable that he would have ignored it.
Well, except there were so many different symptoms. Yes, I mean, as he pointed out, as far as the swollen testicle was concerned, when you're training on a bike and you're sitting on that very narrow little saddle for 6 hours a day and really pushing yourself hard, maybe you can reach a rationalization here and say, I expected that kind of discomfort, I expected that kind of pain. But for a 25-year-old, the blurred vision, coughing up blood, I think one of the lessons here is early detection. One of the lessons here is all kinds of people can be helped. All kinds of cancers can be treated, but they are more treatable and the help is likely to be more useful the earlier on you can find it.
But there are some cancers that really don't, in fact, even become evident until fairly late. I have a friend who has ovarian cancer, and it wasn't until her stomach started puffing up that she realized something was wrong, and it had gone pretty far. Luckily, chemo has pretty much stabilized the situation for her. But unless you take MRIs or CAT scans or something, some of these cancers will really not become evident until it's quite late in the game.
And frequently too late. And I think the point, Leonard, is that maybe more, and I realize there is some controversy about this, but maybe people do need to have a CAT scan on a fairly regular basis, that having a PET scan, depending on how old you are, too. My wife went in to get a PET scan because our dear friend Peter Jennings had not. Mm-hmm. And by the time he discovered he had lung cancer, it was stage four. My wife went in. They discovered a tiny spot on one of the lobes of her lung and were able to extract that by surgery. And I hope the cancer is now behind her. But again, the older you are, the more of these tests I think it is probably wise to have at least, you know, once a year.
And there is a blood test, for instance, that may not tell you what type of cancer you have, but it gives an indication if there's some cancer there. And if you have a family history, as I did, take that very seriously. I mean, for colon cancer, a colonoscopy, and most people are scared of it, is not something most people are eager to do. And, you know, they generally say, well, wait till you're 50. If you have a family history, do not wait till you're 50. Get it right away.
After all those years of invading other people's privacy, how did it feel to be the focus of a television program?
Well, I hate being on television. That's why I spent my career on the other side. There's really only one reason I did it, and that's because I did it with Ted. It really was two friends talking about a difficult situation rather than a reporter and a subject. It came out of, I mean, Ted had done the Tuesdays with Maury broadcast for Nightline, and a couple weeks after my diagnosis, he raised the idea of doing this series of interviews as I went through the process, which at the time we thought was going to be much shorter, and quite honestly, both of us expected the program, whatever it turned into, to air after my death.
And let me just add one thing, if I may, Leonard. You chastised me correctly for making a bad pun about the no-brainer early on. The reason I think this program is useful and maybe even important is because it is about living with cancer. Leroy and I talk about this almost every day.
And 10 million Americans are living with cancer. That's
exactly,
a lot of people.
But when you talk about it every day, you have a couple of options. You can either cry about it every day, or you can talk substantively about it, but also make light of it. And Leroy and I have reached a point, A, because we're good friends, and B, because he has a wonderful sense of humor. We do joke about it. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, not all cancer can be cured, but just about every cancer can be treated. Elizabeth Edwards is going to be a guest on the live town meeting segment of our broadcast, and I think she makes this point as eloquently as anyone, and that is you have to start looking upon cancer as being a chronic disease. You can't cure it, but you can treat it, and you can give people an example of how to better live with it. Go about your normal daily routine. Not everyone's going to be able to do that. If you're undergoing chemotherapy, for example, you may be so sick, you may be flat on your back. But there will be times when you can live a relatively normal life. And the ability to do that makes such a difference.
And you're going to do this a live town hall meeting as part of a three-hour show that you're doing.
Exactly. We're beginning with two segments on Lance. Then we have six segments on Leroy because he's the biggest of us all and demanded that much time. And then we're doing the live town meeting with Lance Leroy and Elizabeth Edwards.
Both of you have also landed in National Public Radio, haven't you? Leroy, you're doing a blog. And Ted, you have become our senior correspondent for NPR. Yep.
A senior analyst, which simply means old, which quite frankly, at a network that also has Dan Shore as a senior analyst, you know, Dan is one of the few guys who still has 22, 23 years on me.
And for the record, I was working at NPR first before I got cancer, and Ted has come in and he sucks up all my airtime.
And now he's sucking up all the air as well, you say.
Exactly. It's a little cozy in the sound booth.
Well, we look forward to seeing this show on the Discovery Channel, a couple on Discovery, Living with Cancer. This is just one of the shows you're doing on Discovery. What else do you have lined up, Ted?
Actually, I just came back from California, where I spent a few days at Solano Medium Security Prison. The big story in California, but it's also a big story around the country, is that so many of our prisons are dreadfully overcrowded. Solano, for example, has more than double the number of inmates in it that it was built to house. And California is facing a rather major crisis in that in about a month, A federal court is going to determine whether or not they have an adequate plan to take care of the problem. If not, I think the federal court may begin releasing prisoners. It's going to be a fascinating story, but that's a few months down the road.
Leroy, do you miss the producing part of broadcasting?
Well, that's a good question.
I'm still producing, huh?
Well, I just did Ted and I actually did a show for Discovery now, I guess, I don't know, a month or so ago. There are times I miss daily news. It's funny. I don't really miss producing Nightline. I miss the staff. I miss the people. I miss what we did together terribly.
Well, when you're doing it every day and suddenly you're doing it sporadically, it does feel odd, doesn't it? You're kind of out of rhythm. On the other hand, it's nice to retire. Or are you retired?
Oh, boy. I'm 51. I hope I haven't retired yet. No, and it's fun to do different things. I think for all of us, though, we're like Pavlov's dogs. Certain things happen, and we start salivating. It's like, let's go do a show, and we have to remind ourselves, well, wait, we don't have a daily show anymore.
But meanwhile, people can read your blog. It's called My Cancer at www.npr.org/mycancer. And Ted Koppel's show, Koppel on Discovery, is broadcast on the Discovery Channel this Sunday at 8 p.m., Living with Cancer. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Leonard.